I wanted to I'm looking again at the Lankavatara Sutra. And from there I have been this week, because I haven't been out doing so much once I realized that I actually was getting sick, the Sharangama. And it's an interesting, the Sharangama for any of you is an absolutely marvelous sutra, particularly for intellectual types. And I know Roshi would roll over in his grave to find me becoming an advocate for reading sutras. Because over the years, we would have little duels over that. And I would tell him that, Roshi, where I live, I want blue-collar Zen. I want Zen that rolls up its sleeves and just steps into the battle. I'm not interested in any of these fancy intellectual debates and theory, all of that. Not interested. And he'd say, oh, yeah. See, because where I worked, my Zen had to work. Because I didn't go into very pleasant places. I didn't sit in front of a console. I went into some of the worst living conditions. I went into hotels over here, hotels that the moment you opened the main door, all you could smell was feces and vomit and urine, and pitch dark because nothing, the windows and the lights had all been broken out. And when you go into that kind of an environment that the police don't even like to go into, they go in more or less in mass. But it's a place that haunted me, because in those places where I would go to work, there were children. And the horror, the nightmare that I had, see, was that I would, for one reason or another, leave a child lost in there who was crying desperately for help. Because I have taken them, see, out of situations like that where they were locked into closets, see, and they really weren't even allowed out. In the one instance, see, they would throw food into the closet and lock the door again. And the little one was in there, terrified, see. And so that was where my Zen had to work, because it was a scary world, a frightening world. I've had workers attack in there. We worked a system, see, where if my worker went out and they found it too threatening, they would call me. I would go with them. And if it was, again, if we made that initial attempt, then we could call what was at that point we called the rollers. And these were the juvenile officers. And it doesn't mean they were juveniles, they were officers, and this was a tough assignment for them. They had one of the highest rates of substance abuse, and one of the officers that I liked the most eventually committed suicide. It was a very tough kind of work to go into. So there, my Zen, it had to be pragmatic, it had to work there. And when I would sit down and listen to the people talk and theorize and give intellectual discussions on the sutras, it seemed to me that it was totally divorced from what I wanted. See, from not what I wanted, what I absolutely needed. And I knew a lot about terror. I knew a lot about fear. See, and so I had to have the kind of practice, see, that would simply allow me to go into that space and work in that space under the most difficult of circumstances if it was absolutely necessary. And my Zen did work, see. My Zen did work. And to the best of my ability, I never left anyone out there alone and frightened. Got myself in trouble a couple of times. But that was okay. It wasn't that I had done anything illegal, but I was more than willing to push. And it was my practice again. However, as we move on and as we begin to look at the wonder of what Buddha Dharma is, see, and one of the nagging doubts that I had that I wouldn't talk about because I was considered a fanatic. They used to actually refer to me that as a fanatic. The one person, it was a very sweet woman, once came up. We had a big party at my house for the Zen Center, see. And she was standing with me near the kitchen. And she was saying, you know, Nyogen, I never realized that you were so intense. See, and it's an interesting thing for me. Mazin once said something along the line of, I come across as being a little intense. You know, that's not the image of myself that I have. I have this image of this old, fuzzy, soft thing. See, that it's easy, see, just to hoodwink and walk around. That's at least that's how Mushoku treats me, see. But there was this nagging doubt. See, is it real? See, do I really believe it? See, in this, some of you would go to war. Oh, yes, yes, I believe it. The fact of the matter is, as some of you have loosened up, you actually acknowledge that, well, I desperately want it to be true. But can anything be as wondrous? Can there actually be this place of sanctuary? See, the fact of the matter is that doubt, see, becomes an obstacle. And much in the way I get into reading again Tom Campbell, see, where he says, what you believe is what you produce. As a matter of fact, this is all the way through the lesson in Buddha Dharma. It is the conditioned mind that produces the hell realms that we live in. Doubt, see, opens up the doorway, see, to all sorts of demons. And when it's even this tiny, tiny nanospeck of doubt, see, and if you're caught in self-deception, see, look carefully at yourself, and you will find that there. Now, Tom Campbell and any of the big, these wondrous teachers of the past, see, will tell you, if that drops away, see, if that drops away, if that obstacle drops away, and if you can actually fully embrace, actualize the way, a transformation takes place. Absolutely, it takes place. And the wonder, see, again, begins to manifest. There is a wonder here. But again, the mistake that we make is that we pursue something other than where we are as we are. See, this is where we struggle. See, we struggle with where we are at. Each one of us carries a certain degree, see, of karmic pain and suffering. See, and we are never asked to carry more than we can handle. See, and the question becomes, well, then how do I handle this? You handle this, see, by entering into a state of non-distracted awareness, samadhi. There is no place out there now that I know of where this teaching is alive. See, this teaching, see, of entering into this place of samadhi, which is your state of absolute being, there isn't a discourse going on in your head. There isn't an eyelash of doubt. See, there isn't an expectation of something other. See, they call it the place of not knowing. That does not mean falling back into ignorance. It doesn't mean being brain dead. See, as a matter of fact, it's the absolute opposite of that. See, it means to be vibrantly alive, totally vibrantly alive in the now. You can't conceptualize that. The moment we fall into that conceptualization, or the moment we say, I believe that, Tom Campbell again points out that if you believe it, that means there's doubt. See, I believe. See, and again, Thursday night I talked about this. Can anybody in here simply say in all honesty that you believe you're here? Are you here? Do you doubt that? See, no, when it's actualized, there is no belief. See, belief carries with it. See, I believe I am not 100% sure, but I believe. See, statistically, I think it would fall on the side of positive. No, any of that misses the point. See, you have no doubt that you are here. See, now, See, the problem that we run into is that we cannot, see, simply think our way in, see, into this state of samadhi. And this state of samadhi, which I've heard some of my Dharma brothers, see, well, it's just your life. Absolutely, that's true. See, absolutely, it's true. But Mazumi Roshi would say, but do you know what your life is? See, do you experience, see, this moment in actualized form, in the absolute state of being? That's what samadhi is. See, and that's the only thing that there is. See, this state of being, the illusion of birth and death. See, this is a product, see, of this believing mind. See, this believing mind is also what you project out here. See, I believe Ryozen is a good guy. I don't know so much about Kyoji. Maybe not. But I believe, see, that belief, that's the picking and choosing mind. See, that has to be swept away. I was reading in the Sharangama, they get to talking about, in one place, I'm really enjoying some of this now, but talking about purity, see, and the funny part about it, and he was using the sexual desires, he used a couple of other things, but the sexual desires was a fascinating one because everybody pretty much has a problem with it. See, and an interesting thing, if you truly see what Buddha Dharma is about, and when they talk about purity, there is no issue. There is no problem. See, the issue arises out of, you have to cultivate and manifest this purity in the way you go about this. And this old Chinese master, whom I really think is a wonderful teacher, but I don't agree with him. See, do you know what purity is? And do you know, particularly while the sexual desires are so destructive? See, most of you, look at your lives. See, has it been a boon? Your sexual drives? How much pain and suffering has it brought into your life? See, the interesting part about it, it isn't the physical act. See, it's what you do with your mind, the addiction. See, and you continuously elaborate on it. See, and it doesn't really mean, it could be greed, it can be anger. It just so happened that he picked this up, and the Chinese are very, in my opinion, very rigid on this. They almost get to the point where the female, see, is considered unclean, the temptress. And there's all of these. And that bias should be thrown out, because there is no gender bias in the Buddha Dharma. See, and when someone begins to talk from that perspective and going through these initial steps, by the way, I had some of this written down in my other notes, see, had go through these particular steps on the purification. See, this gets into the little vehicle, the Hinayana, purification. Some people need the purification. Some people carry with them such an overwhelming sense of guilt, such an overwhelming sense of doubt, see, that they have to move in small increments. So we start the purification ritual. Now, as we go along in our practice, and particularly in koan practice, and I'm not sure how the precept practice will eventually work in with the people who aren't doing koan practice. I think that it can. The problem that I have seen is that there's several people have wanted to do a precept practice, and they simply couldn't do it. And they could not move beyond an intellectual understanding, and you have to move beyond it. And that's what I'm going to try to get you to see today. The old Chan masters don't buy into this incrementation, although for some people they would say absolutely. They wouldn't discount it. See, but when we talk about the purity, see, we're talking about the purity of what? Of the Buddha mind, the Tathagata Garbha. See, the Dharmakaya, lots of different names for it. See, and those names, see, can begin to pull us into conceptual models and understanding, but simplify it. See, get very quiet right now. See, you should be so still. See, not in a subject-object relationship with this, but can you see your mind? Can you experience your mind? To say, see, is the only way I can describe it. See, but it isn't in the subject-object relationship that we're in right here. See, some of you, and this is where most of the people who claim to be Zen teachers miss. See, they sit here and they say, and Lanza pointed that out in a way, but his was different. See, oh, I see, that's the Buddha mind. No, that is the mind of delusion. That is the illusion. Do you see this Buddha mind? Right now, my Buddha mind is in a state of purity. Then watch the thoughts, watch the emotions arise. See? And what happens? See, if it's a powerful energy, like the sexual energy, see, the Tibetans work with that. There is nothing that's rejected. The Tibetans work with it in their tantra. See, all energy, it's simply physics. And some energies, see, are becoming monkey mind, wild horse mind. And the moment that occurs, my delusional mind, that's this egocentric sense that floats on the lens of this Buddha mind. See, if I am not pursuing thoughts, you say, well, you're talking and thinking. No, no. See, to that degree, you don't even see it. I have no idea where these words are coming from. I remember sitting with my teacher once, and we were talking about this. And at one point, because he was pushing me to talk, and I have something of a speech impediment. See, and I was telling him, I said, maybe I should go take speech lessons or something. What? What? He said, you don't think a Buddha knows how to talk? And then he says, Nyogen. He said, I never know what I'm going to say. And he would make this gesture. I never know what I'm going to say. See? And then if you begin to see the clear state of samadhi, this is the state of purity. Now, so long as I am holding on to even a shadow of separation, see, I limit. See, the benefit of what I'm looking out to. See, now some of you, see, can't even get to the point of where you can begin to entertain the possibility of dropping, see, all of the intellectual cues and clues that you give to yourself about how I can behave, how I have to function. See, if I go into any situation, I have to carry with me my likes and my dislikes. I have to believe in what's good and what's bad. See, if I don't know those things, how will I be able to behave? You will behave like a deluded sentient being. And what you find, particularly in the teaching of today, and Mazen can probably even speak more to this, I don't go look. She's my pipeline to the outside world. See? But they're trying to make a rigid format, dogma. See, and everybody has to measure to this. In Buddha Dharma, see, if you're following any of your thoughts and your emotions, that's the defiling factor of this Buddha mind. It should be seen and experienced from this state of samadhi. See, and this state of samadhi means I simply, and this is how we work, see. But again, see, what did Buddha experience? See, when he looks out here, see, the supreme way, you are the supreme way. If you still think that there is something on the other side of you, there is something divine. What was it the other night that I brought up, and I'm not sure whether I brought it up from Tom Campbell because he talks about it, but it was, I believe it came from the Lankavatara Sutra. See, so long as you think there is something outside of your awareness, you're in delusion. And so long as you're in that delusion, you will entertain that kind of an environment. See, and so you will produce, see, your own heaven or your own hell. You produce it by your likes and your dislikes. Some of you, again, will be unable to even entertain the theoretical possibility of something existing in a way that you don't have an intellectual understanding of it. See, but, and again, if we can even begin to look, see, at what modern neuroscience, modern quantum physics is suggesting to us, it is suggesting this possibility that you, see, are the flashpoint of the eternal. See, again, we don't understand the state of emptiness. See, emptiness, there is nothing fixed. That's all that simply means. This is simply energy moving. Now, if we conceptualize that, see, and pretty much that's what modern science, it's pointing closer and closer to this, but that's pretty much where they come from. See, to understand these things, you're still in delusion. Buddha said, if you defile it by even the shadow of an eyelash. I used to quote diameter, but one of the sutras, he says, the shadow of an eyelash. See, that defilement here. See, now, is this just my ravings? No. This is the Shinshin Ming. The supreme way knows no difficulty. See, and you, see, not me, you are the supreme way. Who you are, where you are, as you are, that's your karma. You sit in the center of the eternal mandala. See? There is no mandala outside of your mandala. This is what's so difficult to understand. And in Buddha Dharma, they talk about it. See, from Indra's net, David Bohm would come from the perspective of a hologram. These things work in my mind. See, if we're wanting to do something from an intellectual perspective. And in a certain sense, sitting in this karmic role as a teacher, see, I have to bring these kinds of things in, even though I don't particularly use it in my practice. My practice is to enter into purity. Is that shocking? Nyogen? Have you ever been when I was a younger, stronger man and I'd throw down? Did I look like purity? See, but purity, see, simply means, see, that there I am not caught, see, in the picking and choosing mind. Purity is not a Judeo-Christian yardstick or measurement. If you want to see what that kind of purity produces, raise up from your navel and look at the world of samsara as it is today. You can never resolve anything promoting that kind of purity. And that's what I think, from what I've read, that's what they're pushing, that kind of purity. Is it your life? Yes. But not your life in samsara. Your life in purity. Purity is the state of samadhi. Samadhi is a state of non-distracted awareness. And as you cultivate that, those of you who are going to sit Rohatsu, I want you to be able to begin, when I say, to see the defilement. See, it isn't what you think. See, the defilement is the distortion, see, in the mind. And when I start to distort anything, see, the sexual energy, where I worked, see, and my region was one of the worst regions. You could see the most debased kinds of behavior coming out of that tremendously powerful energy. See, and I believe Mujo probably knows way more on this, that the Tibetans recognize the power of the energy, and then, again, they see Buddha Dharma, so they turn that powerful energy and try to release ourselves, see, into this pure state. See, it's the same thing with greed or anger or, see, any of these various attachments, see, that pull us into a place where we progressively degrade. And this is the truth. Some of you think about your own sexual lives, see. Has it enhanced or does it begin to degrade? See, at first, this is true also of drugs, by the way. I know a little bit about drugs, being an old hippie, see. But you start, see, and this seems quite wonderful. See, wow. See, now, let's see, this is an amazing thing. There's some way of relating to life that's obviously new. And then you start pursuing. See, you start pursuing. See, you don't recognize that what made the initial experience quite wonderful was that you didn't go off someplace else. It was your experience of the now. And this is true of all of them. See, now, if you can drop the experience, see, and move into this pure state again, then we work with what's ever here. See, we work with what's ever here. Then when this moment is gone, see, I work with the next movement, see, of energy. See, now the beauty of it is, if I can drop my attachment, and the sex energy is particularly difficult to drop, probably I could have a show of hands in here. How many of you can just do that? See? Or do you begin to fantasize? See? And then do you begin to follow your fantasies? And do you find, much the way I watched with peers when I was an old hippie, to watch, see, the encounter with psychedelics begin to degrade? See, meaning leading them. I think musicians, you see that with them, do you? Yeah. See, and this is what you call defilement. And through all of this, a defilement of what? This. Because you become so blind that you don't see this anymore. Now, see, the point is to continuously stay awake here. It isn't to have some kind of a grand intellectual theory about what's going on. Doesn't take that. This is what's going on. And who you are as you are. That's your karmic inheritance. That karmic inheritance, see, we can't say anything beyond this now. See, although in this, see, if you enter into this deep enough, see, you will begin to experience what we would consider the siddhas, the powers. But again, if you listen to the great teachers, they will tell you, if you pursue those sorts of things, you degrade it, you defile it. Can you sometimes cultivate something? Yeah, but it always ends up in defilement. Some of you know, I had the experience with a good friend of mine in Domons, see, to watch as he pursued. He didn't pursue evil, see, but again, he pursued delusion. And when we had him here, it was very, very clear how severe the delusion had become. See, this is the problem. This is defilement. See, yes, it is your life, but how you live your life, that's the important part. See, if you're just simply stumbling from one memory, from one thought, from one wish, see, pushing constantly to gain for the self, you suffer. Consequently, all of those around you, those that are near and dear, as a matter of fact, can I say, the entire cosmos suffers because of you. See, when you're in great pain, do you actually ever look out and say, hell, there's nobody out there suffering but me? See, you don't see it that way. You only see pain. See, if you go into the exploitation, commit no evil means hurting others. See? And hurting yourself. Do not speak ill of the three treasures, the precepts. See? What does that mean? Do not speak ill of the three treasures means simply that I do not leave this state of non-distracted awareness. And you can't think your way into it. See? So particularly, I get tired when people keep coming in and trying to con me. It's so easy to see the depth of the samadhi. See, it's so easy. This state, see, of purity. Isn't it a wonderful sounding word? Purity. Which means, as it is, in the talk that I had planned, see, they talk about this thusness as it is. Not as you think it is, not as you wish it were, but as it is. That's the state of samadhi. Now, the miracle occurs here. See, as I stay awake, because the energy, the physics of this, see, it's energy moving. See? And it's not energy that they can track on some kind of an electronic scope. See? The energy. See, if I continuously, and this is where we talked about the sexual energy, we could talk about anger, we could talk about greed. If I continuously am ruminating on these things, what am I producing? See, I'm tightening the noose around my own neck. And whether we believe it or not, it becomes a question of belief at this point. It is lifetime after lifetime. It cannot be any other way. And that can even be argued from the perspective of quantum physics. I think actually Lanza talks about that in his biocentrism. And one way or another, he uses some sort of a math, a percentage or something to come up with for the energy. See, it can't be dissipated. See, and that's what they also tell you today. The science can't be taken away from. Not one atom can't be added to. See, and in Dean Radin's book, Supernow, did you get the point where he points out that we're at least 1,000 years behind the old yogis? 1,000 years behind, but it's much deeper than that. All of us in this room are, in a certain sense, spiritually delayed. See, we are the spiritually developmentally challenged. See, and so this is really, see, the degraded era, and we'd better make it through here at this time. See, we don't want to put this off. See, so yes, it is your life, but you can't conceptualize what that is. You can't start making up a miracle for yourself. See, and the great Yang Wu said, we do not deal, see, in magic or miracles. See, because it isn't. It is very ordinary. Very ordinary. The most ordinary things. See, and your conditioning, how deeply these calloused layers, see, of self-indulgence, see, that's what determines whether or not you can begin to grasp the wonder. See, the wonder that you sit here conscious, that you're sitting here in this empty body, this impermanent body that you can never stop for a second. See, and you are aware. See, and you keep, in a certain sense, swimming into the light. See, here, now. See, that is the way you begin to experience what your life is. We can again go back to this wonderful talk. I really appreciated Shindo's editing of Tom Campbell's talk on our website. I hadn't listened to it. He makes it very clear that the process that we're involved in, see, is evolution. The evolution of our consciousness. See, our consciousness is trapped, see, in the ego-serving sense of self. See, my likes and my dislikes. See, and that will keep me trapped in samsara. And I will tumble. And we can think, and I've often wondered why some of the people that I know have turned out the way they have turned out when they've had this marvelous relationship with Maizumi Roshi. See, and I always come to the conclusion that they really believe that when they die, that's the end. See, it's just a metamorphosis. And Tom Campbell talks about that. It's just, for him, a virtual reality. He uses the language, particularly the language of computer science. See, but you read the sutras, they'll tell you, it's lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. If you don't evolve, if you don't make the evolutionary jump into this state of non-distracted awareness, you will continue to tumble. And you will be aware of the tumbling, of the pain, and the suffering. See, whether you believe it or not, if you listen to some of the people who have had experiences, see, in the here and the now, and what it means, there is that aware. You do not escape your karma. See, but if you can begin to enter into a state of purity, see, and purity means that I look out here, see, and how I interact here. See, commit no evil means I maintain this. And Roshi would tell me, the way I know if behavior is appropriate depends upon the person, the place, the time, and the amount. See, but never slipping back into my egocentric mind. See, never slipping back. I slip back into it, then it becomes defiled. And you can look. See, it's strange. I wished I could let you all see from this side. I can watch defilement come through. I could latch on to it if I want. But I don't have to, because it's all so empty. It has no power. It is power that I have given to it by my attachments. As I free myself from those attachments, I do that by practice. See, you can't think your way into it. You have to practice. See, and as your practice matures, you look up here. See, and you see, wow. See, I could follow, look at that. I could follow that path. And pain and suffering. See, not only would I experience pain and suffering, but all around me. And if you can release that, and once you actually see that, once I release that, do you know what races through your very being? This sense of bliss. Wow. See, I had it completely backwards. See, completely backward. See, I was pursuing, see, rather than releasing. See, coming into this state of purity. And that's what we call, see, samadhi. Thank you.